Just a reminder, Deborah Boyle's brother passed away, and there will be a graveside service only on Thursday, this week Thursday, 2 p.m. in the afternoon at National Memorial Cemetery in Falls Church. National Memorial is right off of 29, just west of Falls Church. And that'll be Thursday at 2 p.m., graveside service there. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Psalms, the 75th Psalm. It's that time of year. We're in September, and give you a pat on the back and a little bit of encouragement, and don't give up and press forward kind of thing. School has started, and kids are there. Lots of opportunities to excel. Our young people are involved in a lot of different things. Football games going on, volleyball, track and field. Mrs. Bishop and I hit several games every year. Lord willing, plan on being at a game this Thursday at West Potomac High School. Some of our young people play there. Wrestling, basketball, soccer, all kinds of things going on on the sports realm. In the school, there are school plays and music and voice competitions that will go on, piano and voice. Opportunities for leadership. There'll be elections in school and presidents and vice presidents and class sponsors and all of that. Adults have opportunity, not just necessarily in the fall when the new school year starts, but opportunities for job advancements and promotion opportunities and career advancements. And the question is always, should I apply? Should I put my name out there? And so this one Bible truth will help you if you understand it when it comes to running for office or playing on a sports team or getting playing time or being on the starting team or getting elected to that position or getting that job advancement at work. Or preachers struggle with this. Should I stay here? Should I go? Should I use my church as a stepping stone? Maybe I should get a bigger church somewhere with more influence. And so preachers struggle with this concept as well, trying to put their names out there and trying to put their best foot forward. So what do you do? What is this one Bible truth? This one Bible truth will change your attitude when it comes to promotion if you recognize it. One Bible truth. This one Bible truth will allow you, enable you to accept promotion graciously. Some people take promotion thank you very much. You obviously did the right thing in voting me in because I'll be the best president, class president that there is. And thank you very much. Hold your applause. Oh, a little bit more. That's not gracious acceptance. Some leaders can accept promotion graciously, others not so much. But this one Bible truth will allow you to, it will enable you to graciously accept. But here's the flip side. Anybody can accept promotion. This one Bible truth will help you to graciously respond when you're rejected and somebody else is chosen for the position or the office that you were seeking in your own life. When you respond in a gracious manner, and understanding this truth will enable you to do that. Because the world gets upset, and they say nasty things against their competition, and say, "Well, I hope you're happy with what you got, because they're going to tax you, and they're going to take advantage of you." Election season, we hear a lot of that. Why is that? Why? Because the world strives for power. They want power. They want advancement, and oftentimes that power is used as a power to destroy. Destroy their adversaries, the opposition, the people that are against them. And so when you respond graciously when you win, and you respond graciously when you are rejected, when you don't win, you become an anomaly. How can you do that? And that enables you to fulfill the truth of Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they see. You're different. How is that? Why is that? And again, it is this one Bible truth. We're in Psalm 75, verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. So here is promotion. But he's going to use that, for the psalmist is going to use that promotion to be a blessing, not for the power to destroy. Verse 3, the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Don't you've heard somebody say, don't blow your own horn? Here it is. Lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. Why? Verse 6. For promotion, are you watching? For promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth, shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. And that one Bible truth found in verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. Understanding promotion. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Young people in school, they struggle with this. There are going to be some elections, some competitions for captain of the ball team, and it just seems like we're passed over. And some folks get bitter, and some folks just throw in the towel and quit, and some folks just walk away altogether. Father, may we as Christians understand this Bible truth that promotion doesn't come from man, promotion comes from you. And may we trust you and may we learn to praise you no matter what. Father, for that foolish, wicked person that thinks that they are promoted as a result of their wit and wisdom and power, and they use their power to destroy, may they understand that you also put down that power. So may we respond graciously and biblically. Well, thank you for what you do this morning as you speak to us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So here's interesting. Now, verse 6 mentions three out of the four directions. Doesn't come from the east, and doesn't come from the west, and it doesn't come from the south. Some would say, well, we know where it comes from then. It comes from the north, because the north is not mentioned. The word implies that the hidden or secret place, that is God. They would say that it is the mystery from some hidden providence in the north, God's secret hand. And some are promoted to great prosperity, and some are not. Many in world power in the biblical narrative were obviously promoted by God, and God enabled them and put them in those places. And we see that in Cyrus, 175 years before Cyrus was born, God named him and said, I'm going to put Cyrus in power. This is before his great, great, great granddad. He was named before he was born, before his parents were born, before they knew each other, before they dated, before she got word that she was going to have a baby, and before that baby came. And when they're sitting down thinking, what shall we name this baby? God in his word said, Cyrus, my servant. Many come to seek power and think that they arrived in power. You come in the biblical narrative, you see Daniel, and Israel had sinned. And Israel thought, hey, we're God's chosen people, we can do whatever we want. That is a dangerous thought. And so God said, enough, and I'm going to judge Israel for their sin and their apostasy and their straying from me, and I'm going to raise up the nation Babylon to do that. Well, who in the world is Babylon? Now, Babylon was nothing at the time, but God raised them up, and Nebuchadnezzar was placed on the throne. Nebuchadnezzar traveled down to Jerusalem, and there were young people taken captive as a result of that. And there's a lot of biblical narrative that talks about the destroying angel that went down. And we preached about this maybe 6 or 7 months ago, had the writer's inkhorn by his side, and that angel was to mark them that sighed and cried over the sins and the apostasy of their nation. And they were marked for protection to the news media. To those historians that were writing about the Babylonian incursion on Israel, it would seem like the killing was random. But God tells us it wasn't random. And there were those that were marked for protection. And I think the title of the message that Sunday was, Would you be spared in that day? Are you a person that sigh and cry over the sins of your nation? But interesting, Nebuchadnezzar, once he got in power, like many people, when they get in power, thought that he was the cat's meow, that he had gotten there because of his superior intellect, and he totally ignored that there was a God. Even though some pretty exciting things had happened, and he was told. Daniel had a dream. Daniel came in and interpreted the dream. And Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, this is not good, because you're a leader. You have a tendency to pride. You have a tendency to think that you made yourself, and God's not going to tolerate that. About a year later, after he had that dream and after he lived pretty honestly and straightforward before God for about a year. But after a year came up, he was looking at the great kingdom that he had built and said, is this not great Babylon that I had built? And at that moment, God smote him. Bible tells us that for 7 years, he lived like a beast. Spittle would drool down his beard. And then, when that time passed, he came to himself, and he gave God the glory. It should not take God removing us until we recognize who God is. A sad part about what happened in Nebuchadnezzar's life is that his grandson, Belshazzar, did not learn from the history of his own kingdom, not just the kingdom, but his own family, and lifted up in pride, mocked God, thumbed his nose at God, drank, and said, we've defiled the men, we've defiled the women, what haven't we defiled? We have not defiled the vessels that have been set apart to the honor and glory of God. And they toasted the gods of gold and wine and silver. And at that moment, that's the handwriting on the wall in the book of Daniel. What was that? That was a leader that failed to see that God promoted him and God could demote him. And that night, that kingdom, many tekel upharsin, that night the kingdom was taken from him. Why? Because promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But promotion cometh from the Lord. Verse 7 says, God is the judge. He putteth one down and setteth up another. And on that night, he put down Belshazzar, and the Medes and Persians came into rule. And you can go to the book of Daniel and you can read about that. What is going on behind the scenes? I do not know. Who's counting the votes? I do not know. But here's what I know. Behind those closed locked doors of man's secrecy, God sees. God sees. Promotion, the lifting up, not from the south, not from the great wilderness at this time that lied in that direction. But verse 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 all talk about the rise and fall of nations and empires, and the psalmist reminds us that that is ascribed to God. He exalts one and puts down another's. Nations and prosperous individuals, they are often pompous and self-glorious and powerful, prideful and boastful. And then they die and stand before God. Many times the calamity of war, pestilence, famine, they seem random to us. Certainly to the news media and to many of the scientists and people that follow science in our world would attribute this to an anomaly. Global warming, global cooling, climate change, anything but to recognize, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's the earth. Why? Because that comes from God. I'm going to go back to my police department days. I was a young man in my 20s, and I had been on the police force for about 2 years, and at 2 years, you could take a promotional exam, and the promotional exam was to become from being a slick sleeve to having one stripe, which was a police officer first class, PFC, P1. As the police guys would call it. I had 2 years on. I had been working the street, and so I studied, and you had to go into a room, and there were three veteran officers that sat as a panel, and they gave you scenarios, and you had to say what you would do. And I went through that. My goal was to do my best. My belief that I had 2 years on, and there were a lot of guys with 3 and 4 and 5 and 7 and 10 and 12 who had not that rank yet. And there were a lot of smart people out there in police work that were probably going to do a whole lot better than I was. But I was going to do my best. My patrol buddy, he came on about the same time that I did, and he was a typical, arrogant, unsaved guy. And he said, how'd you do on the promotional exam? I said, well, you know, I studied. I don't think I embarrassed myself. You couldn't tell what the scenarios were. I said, but I think I did okay. I don't think I said anything in the before the promotion board. That would be illegal or immoral. I think I hit the point. I probably didn't hit them all. I said, I'm sure I'll come somewhere out on the list. he said, I'm sure you did fine. He said, you're not number one. He said, because I'm number one. He said, I'm number one. But you can be number two. That was his philosophy. So the list came out. And I think I came out like 125, 125 on the list. And he came out, my patrol buddy, he came out like 357 or something like that. There was no way that he was getting promoted off that list. And then a couple years later, the sergeant's exam came out. And I did not want to get promoted to sergeant, but my patrol buddy did. And he said, are you going to take the exam? Oh, you have to. I don't want to get promoted to sergeant. I enjoy what I'm doing. And he said, well, I'm taking it. He said, and I'll tell you, I'm going to come out number one on the list. And he said, and I'm going to use my power to hammer people. I'm going to fire people. I'm going to make their life miserable. And I looked at him and I called him by name and I said, my prayer is that you never get promoted. Because that kind of attitude, I don't want to work for somebody like that. And nobody would want to work. But that was his attitude. And that is many times the attitude of those who are unsaved, carnal. But that shouldn't be our attitude. That we're going to use our power to destroy people. But that was his. At 7 years, 5 years, I was eligible for sergeant. At 7 years, I became eligible for master police officer. Now, that's a stripe with a diamond. And there are guys that go their whole year, 25 years, and never get that rank. But again, you had to take tests, and it was on your evaluations and things like that. And I put in for it. And I'll tell you, at 7 years, I thought, there is no way. But my patrol buddy, he put in for it. And he's pretty consistent all the way along. And he said, hey, I'm going to be number one. And I'll allow you to be on the list. And I thanked him by name. But my attitude, my belief, my trust was in God. And it affected my attitude. And when that list came out, I was number 37. And I was really confident that I was going to get promoted based on where I was on the list before that list expired. The list expires every 2 years. And I looked at his spot on the list. He was like 137 or something like that. And I knew he was never going to get promoted. And I got picked up for that. And you can go into our home and see a little shadow box that has that. And I'll tell you what, when I made that at 7 years, that made a lot of people mad. Because there are some guys that had been on for 25 years that hadn't got that. And I can tell you that I probably should not have gotten that promotion. And there are others that were way ahead of me in line, seniority-wise, that were probably smarter than I was and probably should have gotten that. But I did. Promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west, nor from the north and the south. It cometh from the Lord. You recognize that, you're not going to say, well, I got that because I'm smart, because I didn't think I was necessarily smart. And I got that because I was superior, because I didn't necessarily think I was superior. Promotion doesn't come. Promotion comes from the Lord. You recognize that, it'll help you. Let me say this. Promotion doesn't come from those directions. Career setbacks And I have to ask, how many of you have ever had a career setback? Career setbacks are not necessarily a sign of God's judgment or anger or displeasure with you. Promotion is an interesting term in verse 6 of Psalm 75, very expressive term. Because promotion in our eyes is that desire for self-advancement. And so mankind, they come up with inner schemes, outward plans. They desire to improve their circumstances, and they want advancement. It doesn't come from the east. It doesn't come from the rising of the sun. Many people worship the sun, the dawning of a new day. In our lives, promotion doesn't come because you're smart or young or energy or energetic, or it's the old man, he's tired, his ideas are old. It doesn't come from the east, the dawning of that day. It doesn't, and there are those that are older that think, I've got all the wisdom in the world. It doesn't come from the west, from the dusk of the day as the sun is setting. I put in my time, I put in my years, I deserve this. I have a knowledge of the organization and how things are done, and I should be promoted just based on who I am. And lots of people have that idea. The end of life, the setting of sun, can be depressing, especially when you don't get that promotion that you think that you deserve. End of our life, we have loss of dear friends. The buoyancy of life, of youth is long gone. Our power and strength gone. It doesn't come from the south. In this writing, the south was a desert place, the Arabian desert. Desert is a dry and solitary place where you just think, why am I here? What is my worth? Nobody values me. Nobody sees me. I just remind you that when you are demoted, you get into trouble, that's not necessarily a sign of God's dear pleasure. I was young in my police career and got into a pursuit with a motorcycle, and that pursuit did not end well. The bad guy got caught, and I ended up getting 4 days off without pay. You know, they walk into the room and say, and you go into internal affairs, that's never a good thing, and they take your badge and your gun, and they say you are done for four days. And that seems like a lifetime. But I'll tell you what, it helped me for years and years and years. Years later, I would sit there in my patrol car, and the beep tones would come out, beep, beep, beep. Pursuit, so-and-so is in pursuit, and I knew I was in the path, and I'd turn my lights on and get ready to hit the siren, had the car in drive, and say, pursuing a motorcycle westbound, and I'd put the car back in park and turn the lights back off and say, yeah. I learned very early in my career, don't chase motorcycle. Police department doesn't want you to do that. It's not going to end well, and you're going to get days off without pay. That helped me. And so here's Joseph. He is hated by his brothers. He is sold into slavery. And if you think your promotion or demotion is a result of God's anger, then you're going to look at Genesis and Joseph and you're going to come to all the wrong conclusions. God wasn't angry at Joseph. And just sometimes we get into trouble in the workplace because of sin and sinners. And so Joseph is sold into slavery. He goes to Potiphar's house, and at Potiphar's house he advances. You say, wow, God is happy with him. And then Mrs. Potiphar lies about him, and he's thrown into jail without a trial. Demotion. Well, God's angry with him. No, there are sinners, and bad things happen to good people. And so Joseph is languishing in prison day after day, month after month, year after year. And you would think that he has been forgotten, but he's not forgotten. Pharaoh has a dream. Who can interpret it? No one can. The butler remembers there's a guy in jail that can interpret dreams. And they go get Joseph. They pull him out of jail. They give him a fresh set of clothes. They bathe him. They clean him up. They shave him because in jail he started to look a little scraggly. Cleaned him up, cut his hair, put a brand new set of clothes on him and brought him to in front of the most powerful man in the world. How in the world did that happen? Promotion cometh from, not from the east, not from the west, not from the south. Promotion cometh from the Lord. And God knew where Joseph was. Joseph comes out of prison, interprets the dream, and not in arrogance, says to the king, if you want to be successful, you need to have a guy that is smart, that has a plan, that is going to take a portion of the goods and build barns and put them away during the times of plenty because the times of famine are coming. And Pharaoh looked right back at Joseph and says, who is there as wise as you? You've interpreted the dream. You've come up with a plan. You. And Joseph went from being in prison and forgotten to being the second most powerful man in the world. How did that happen? Promotion cometh not from the east, not from the west, not from the south. Promotion cometh from the Lord. And you're in your job and you're in your career and you think you're in a jail cell and you think you've been forgotten. You have not been forgotten. Your job is to be faithful. When you feel forgotten, when you're passed over for promotion, when you are at the dead end of your career, when you are at the twilight of your life, and you think, I am without hope. You're a believer in Christ. You are never without hope. The only people without hope are the people without God. Two full years, Joseph languished in prison. Long since forgotten by all, but not forgotten by God. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, reminded them in the fifth chapter and the 15th verse, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, here's an interesting part of promotion. Sometimes that promotion is not from the Lord. That man's promotion. I talked to a man recently. He was offered a promotion, a huge $60,000 a year pay increase. And the majority of the people in the room would say, sign me up, sign me up. And he turned it down. Why? Because it would require him to be away from his family. And he knows, according to God's word, that his number one responsibility is to be there for his family. And there's no amount of money that could be offered him. Well, I shouldn't say that. But what did he understand? He understood that he had a greater Bible responsibility to his family and his children than money. A man 30 years ago came to me with a very similar thing. He was in the high positions of the corporate world, and he was offered as a signing bonus $1 million just to work for a company for 1 year. $1 million. And he turned it down. He said, because over the next year, my children are growing up and they need their father. But for the next year, they expect me 7 days a week, 365 days for the next year, to work for them 24 hours a day on this project and neglect my family. And he said, I will not do it. There is no amount of money that can entice me to do it. And I said to them, Do they need a chaplain? Because I think the church will let me go for a year. They could have 10% of the income. And we both laughed because a lot of preachers would have been gone just based on the money. That wasn't salary. That was just to sign, to promise. That was just the bonus. Go to Daniel chapter 6. You read about Daniel. Workplace persecution is not a cause for panic, but it happens in the life of the Christian. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel is in the high reaches of government, and the other government employees did not like him and got the government to pass a law that said anybody who praised anybody but the king for the next 30 days gets fed to the lions, a death penalty offense. And Daniel was a man of prayer. And that's why they passed a law. They passed a law targeting one man to have him killed so that they could have his position. Don't panic.
Pastor, this is a terrible thing. You won't believe what's happening at work. Is it coming to an end?
And Daniel didn't panic. He went and opened up his windows as he had done and prayed to God. And he got thrown in the lion's den. But the law didn't say that the lions had to eat. And the next morning, the king came with a lamentable voice. And
Daniel, is the God that you serve, was he able to deliver you? And Daniel said, no, no worries, king.
Because Daniel understood, promotion cometh not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Promotion cometh from the Lord. And the men who had passed the law, God puts up and tears down. God promotes one and demotes another. They were fed to the lions, and those lions that were not interested in eating Daniel, maybe the Baptist meat smelled bad, ate his adversaries before they hit the bottom, and they were ripped in pieces. 28 years ago, we were coming into the fall of the year. It was about October, and we were, I was pushing the church to call a pastor. I said, you need to call a pastor. I'm a policeman. I'm not a pastor. You need to call a pastor. And you were having a conversation about calling me to be your pastor. At that same time, I was working in the detective section. We were working on a task force. We were hunting down a violent criminal who had on a crime spree in Northern Virginia of rape, and it was a terrible case. And I was assigned to that with that task force. And I was working for a boss, and that boss liked me, and he went to his boss and said, I want Bishop here full time. And that boss came to me and said, Bishop, I want you to put in for this position. And I knew that you were considering me. And I said, no. And he said, I remember we were in the elevator of the Massey building, which is now since torn down, and just the two of us. And I'm standing in the corner of the elevator, and he gets on and he goes, and he pokes me in the chest and says, whoa. What are you thinking? I'm thinking God's got something else. At that same time, a older couple had come to us, Miss Bishop and I, and had a house out in western Fairfax County. It was a two-story, two-car garage, full basement underneath with an in-ground pool in the backyard, and said, we want you to have this house, and we are willing to sell it at a loss so that you can be in it because we see you as a young couple that loves the Lord. And we want a young couple that loves the Lord in this house. And we said to them, no. Why? Because it was too far away from here, and we believed that this is where God was calling us to be. And sometimes Satan can dangle some carrots in front of you and say, hey, if you just do this, you can have this. And that's not from the Lord. Why? Because we understood that text in Ephesians chapter 5, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It baffles the world. They do not understand. But I believe that those, quote, promotions were not from the Lord and would have destroyed our life. I think they would have made it impossible for us to come here and to minister to you. And obviously for the past 30 years, 28 years since that time, we have been here with you. And we don't regret that. Not at all. Now, we don't live in a two-story house with a two-car garage with a green ground pool in the backyard. But we don't look at that as failure. We look around the room and see the people that we have influenced for Christ, that have come to know Christ as their Savior, who are influencing others for the cause of Christ. And that's eternal. It'll change your mindset when it comes to the matter of promotion. So somebody comes up to me and says, Pastor, I've been offered a job paying $300,000 a year. That's got to be God's will for my life. And I look at them and say, really? Spiritually? I am unimpressed. Because money is just one small factor of the equation. Understanding what the will of the Lord is, and that promotion doesn't come from here, from there, from that guy, from being on their coattails, but our focus should be upward, will cause you to look at promotion and demotion, trouble and drama in the workplace, totally different. If you understand Psalm 75, verse 6, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is a judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Would you bow your heads? You're here this morning, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. I don't have that outlook. I don't have that mindset. Doesn't mean anything to me because I don't know Christ. This morning, God is speaking to my heart. I need to be saved. Preacher, pray for me. Slip your hand up. Hold it up for a moment. Say, Preacher, thank you this morning for that text. I'm a Christian. I know Christ as my Savior. I got a little bit downhearted because of something that's happened at school or happened in the workplace. And Preacher, would you pray for me? God would help me to keep my eyes firmly focused on Him and His will and not be weary in well-doing. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Let me pray for you. Let's stand to our feet, our heads bowed. Father, thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. Pray to help, especially those who have raised their hand this morning. You know what is going on in their workplace, in their life. And I pray that they would help them to make you their number one priority, to keep your word and your will at the forefront of their ideology. And may they be an anomaly at work. And when they are gracious in rejection, may people see their Savior. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Every head is bowed, the piano is playing, the altar is open, and you obey.